In the moments before we go, we want to talk about the other big headline that's been happening all week long, the devastating floods in the Midwest. President Bush is in the flood region today, and he's recommending that $2 billion in emergency aid go to flood victims. Joining us now is Dr. Robert Holmes, who's National Flood Coordinator for the U.S. Geological Survey. Dr. Holmes, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, we've talked about the science of weather that's produced all of this water. I wanted to ask you about the science, or maybe it's better, the plumbing of the Mississippi River that creates a vulnerability for floods. What is the state of the Mississippi River drainage system right now, and how vulnerable is it with these amounts of water?
Well, essentially, we've had tremendous amounts of rain over the last several weeks, and that was a buildup of rain. We've had a very wet spring. We had quite a bit of snowpack in upper Wisconsin, as much as 10 to 12 inches of snow water equivalent there that were sitting there in the snow. And when that melted, we were a little bit concerned about that, and it really never got to the flood level proportions, but we had all the rivers full. So when the rain started this spring, due to the influence of La Nina, we started to get into some flooding, and then we just continued that rain cycle, and now we're at pretty catastrophic flood levels.
Well, let's talk a little about the dynamics of the river in the few minutes that we have. I mean, we see these heroic pictures of people sandbagging to try to save their communities, and those pictures are, you know, unforgettable, and you really, your heart goes out to those people. But if you look at this from a plumbing standpoint, it would almost be better to allow some of that water to drain into the aquifers and the soil rather than trying to channel it downstream all the way to New Orleans. True?
Well, I mean, you know, basically, any more time you put concrete, you urbanize an area or you drain an area, you're making that water run off the landscape a lot faster. So you do, through urbanization and human impacts, we can make flooding worse, essentially. And so if you can't allow it to set on the landscape at any for any length of time, then you're not going to get that infiltration into the groundwater system.
The president wants $2 billion to go to flood victims. Where do you think the most important investment should take place to make communities less vulnerable?
Well, I think basically there, in some cases, it's an education standpoint. The public needs to understand what we mean by a 500-year flood or a 100-year flood. That doesn't mean if we had a 500-year flood today that we've got 499 years of safety ahead of us. Basically, it's just a probabilistic measure. It just means that a flood of this size that we're experiencing now in Iowa and along the Mississippi in certain parts has a chance of happening any one year. There's a 1 in 500 odds that it'll occur, or 0.2% chance. And so I think a lot of people are lulled into false sense of security. Hmm. Partly because we've made a mistake in naming it that. We should probably call it the 0.2% chance flood.
Well, you know, this year, Dr. Holmes, we should probably call it the 100% flood, that's for sure.
That's right.
Dr. Holmes, thank you very much for joining us and explaining us that, you know, a false sense of security is probably the greatest part of the vulnerability in flooding in this part of the country. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet.
There are so many issues there.
Yeah.
Environment.
Urban planning.
Urban planning.
Agricultural practices.
And he makes the wonderful point that perhaps we should be thinking about these things broadly, mm-hmm. and that a national policy might be called for, given the fact we can't control the weather, we can't control some of these other things.
Here's a thought that one of our listeners is thinking about because of our interview earlier with our doctor from Georgetown. I was talking about the last moments of life. Is honesty the best policy? Spence Halperin in New York said, back in 1957, my grandfather developed terminal cancer, and his doctors and family did not tell him that he would die soon. As a result, he was not able to put his finances in order. He had a successful business, and his wife, my grandmother, was left financially insecure for the rest of her life. Just one of the stories on 877-8-MY-TAKE or at mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
And Spence holds that withholding the truth has ramifications for the entire family beyond finances. Mm-hmm. It robs them of the ability to achieve closure.
And that's an interesting point. You know, a response to anything in the show. Also, oil policy and U.S. Intentions in Iraq, policies that lead to flooding that Dr. Holmes was just talking about. And anything else on the show, we're on YouTube, iTunes, and Facebook. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
That means you can email us or you can call us.
Yeah, and Adventures in Democracy.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.